be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to the widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Who would you say are the hardest people in the world to love? You might think they are our enemies, like Islamic terrorists, like ISIS or the Taliban. Who can love them? Maybe it's hardest to love your boss at work, or a coworker who's trying to take your job. Maybe it's really hard to love Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, because that's all we see on TV these days. But I believe it or not, I think the hardest people there are to love are the ones we live with, our own family. Not those halfway around the world, but those who are halfway down the hall. They're the ones who are hard to love. Many of you know that I just spent 2 weeks on vacation with my parents. Part of that vacation, we drove from Little Rock to Orlando, Florida. Believe me, this was not driving Miss Daisy, this was driving Mr. and Mrs. Daisy. Morgan Freeman's got nothing on me. But over the course of those 2 weeks, something very special happened to me. I fell in love with my parents again. I noticed that all their quirks and their quarrels didn't upset me or irritate me so much anymore. In fact, I even began to enjoy them. Hanging out with my parents is kind of like watching Everybody Loves Raymond and All in the Family and Family Feud all in one show. But what made it possible for me to love my parents was the realization that I needed to change. I needed to change. I needed to get rid of my critical and condescending attitude and adopt a more respectful and even reverent one. It used to be that when I went home, I wanted my parents to spoil me, to take care of me. But I've learned that now I need to spoil my parents. I need to take care of them. You see, the blockage of love was not in their heart, but in my heart. I needed a sort of spiritual open heart surgery. What makes it hard to love others is not something in them. It is something in us, in our heart. In the gospel today, Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth. Maybe he needed a 2-week vacation as well. And what does Jesus find there at home? He encounters a similar blockage of love in the heart, in the hearts of his own family members. Jesus says, "No prophet is accepted in his own native place." Then the gospel goes on to say, "The people were filled with fury, and they led him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built to hurl him down headlong." Now let me ask you, why did the people find it so hard to love Jesus? Was the problem something in Jesus? Or was the problem something in the people? Obviously, it was something in the people, but they couldn't see it. Just like I realized that the real difficulty in loving my parents was not in them, but in me, so too the people find it hard to love Jesus, because he's no longer the cute carpenter, the son of Joseph who lived down the street. Rather, he had returned as the Messiah, someone whom they needed to follow as his disciples. And their hearts were not humble enough to love and follow him. The hardest part of following Jesus is not Jesus, but us in our hearts. This week, we begin Catholic Schools Week, and I'm so pleased that we actually have a Catholic school here at Immaculate Conception Church. Aren't you glad too that we have a Catholic school here? I want to share with you in our students' own words what they learn here, especially how they've learned the 7 habits of highly effective people. It's a program called Leader in Me. We teach these 7 habits to our students. Those habits do not just touch their minds, but they also change their hearts. Just listen to what our students say. Natalie Hill said, "Being proactive means doing things before the teacher asks you to do it." And that's a good thing, because her mom is one of the teachers. Andrew Hahn said, "Being proactive means that you have to find something to do for fun when there's no one to play with, and do what I'm supposed to without anyone telling me to do it." Good job, Andrew. Isabel Kendrick said, "Habit number 2, which is begin with the end in mind, teaches me to study before a test so that I can make 100%. And believe me, she does too. Anne-Marie Kirsch said this, "Habit 3, put first things first, means do your homework first before you go outside to play." Now everyone knows you said that, Anne-Marie. I'm sorry. Dalila Benavidez said, "I mostly demonstrate habit 3 by doing my homework and then reading a book." Folks, she reads books for fun. She'll probably grow up to cure cancer. Carson Lane said, "Think win-win is helping others to win and not just thinking about yourself winning everything. Thanks for letting others win sometimes, Carson. That's very big of you." Caitlin Sider said, "I listen to people in my group and then I share my ideas." Would that more parents listened first and talked second. Benjamin Beelan said, "I demonstrate habit 5 by listening to people and not interrupting." Emily Harris said, "Synergizing is important because we get to know each other when we work together." And Austin Hughes added, "Synergizing is working together to solve problems and seeing the bigger picture." Heck, how many people here can even spell synergize? Finally, Abby Hunter, who graduated last year, said, "Sharpening the saw, sharpening the saw, is taking care of ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually." Do you see what is happening in a Catholic school? We're doing open heart surgery. By teaching Catholic Christian values, we're delicately removing those blockages in their hearts that prevent the flow of love.
so that our students' hearts can love their parents someday and someday spoil them, so that their hearts can love Jesus and humbly be his disciples instead of throwing him off a cliff, so that their hearts can even love their enemies. In Catholic schools, we teach our students that if you find it hard to love someone, the problem is not in them, but in you, in your heart. Last week, I looked at Father Andrew Hart's Facebook page, and you know, it's hard to love him because he's a Cubs fan. But I shared this quote that I found on Thomas Merton that was on his page. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Merton said, "So instead of loving what you think is peace, love others and love God above all. And instead of hating the people you think are war makers, hate the appetites and the disorder in your own soul, which are the causes of war. If you love peace, then hate injustice, hate tyranny, hate greed, but hate these things in yourself, not in another." Hate these things in yourself and not in another. You know, I'm sure that Thomas Merton would have spoiled his parents too. Praised be Jesus Christ.